In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hello, and welcome back to the Sunday special episode of the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana. How are you? What's going on? We love a Sunday special.
Love a Sunday special. I am good. It's a great time to be out and about. It's exciting. Good weather.
April 21st.
How was and it's going to be very, very long ago at this point. How you were in here for the earthquake. You upset you missed it?
I missed it. Where were you? What's your earthquake tale? Do you have one? Did you feel it?
Mike felt it. I didn't feel it. I think we were on opposite sides of the house, and his was shakier.
Literally, you might as well have been, 2 miles away from one another with the size of that house.
I thought my garage door was just opening. I really had no idea what was going on. But you weren't in New York, right?
No, I was in Boise, Idaho, and I woke up, looked at my phone, and it's like, I guess today is earthquake day. Like, it is so weird the way the internet kind of, if you're online.
Yeah.
Now we're just going to talk earthquake
all day
until sundown. And it's like,
well, it's kind of just a few days later, we had the eclipse.
Right.
Are you an eclipse head?
No, I'm not.
Did you get the glasses?
I didn't get them. So I was on the wrong side of the country for it. So I guess the eclipse was big in Texas, Ohio, New York, you saw it. But I was literally this is kind of what happens when you travel a lot for work is there's no days of the week. There's no time. I've kind of felt a little removed lately from just the world and
culture,
reality.
Society.
Yeah, just what did you do for the, did you go look at the sun? Did you experience it?
I didn't get the glasses. I didn't do the thing. I didn't get the glasses. I also don't, I think unless the whole sky is dark, like it is in Dallas or Austin, I'm kind of I don't want to look through something else to look at the eclipse. And you see on Instagram, it's all these fucking pictures. It's they're all so stupid. It just looks like a little hole, a little circle. What is
this? You don't think it's so you don't get caught up in how small you are in the universe, how I think there's some of
cool.
that to it.
There's that part I like about it. Yeah.
This part in time, it doesn't happen again, I don't think, for 17 years or something like that. I don't know. I think there's a little bit of it also scares me a little bit, the idea that look at how insignificant we are, mm-hmm. It's our lives are just a blip on the radar. You ever see those maps of time and then how long you'll live in comparison to how much time the world has been around?
I find it comforting.
You find that comforting? I think that's nice. I wish I could be more that than I don't know.
Nothing matters. It's kind of nothing matters. And that can either be scary or that can be freeing.
Right.
Who gives a shit? We're all just going to die. It's great.
I know. And I kind of have that feeling when I'm two martinis in, I need who gives a fuck? We're all okay. The martinis are paid for. I don't know. It's I wish I was more towards that and less worried about every step I take and will things work out and
right.
will I get to this thing that doesn't even exist? Where am I trying to go?
That's what I'm saying. Well, I'll send you the death meditation that Dr. Naomi loves.
You guys are really doing some fun and powerful work.
Fun stuff meditation. There. Yeah, we got some death meditation. No, but I mean the crux of it is all your problems that you think of as our problems are actually completely meaningless. In the grand scheme the universe.
I was having that conversation with my dad the other day. He's like, all your problems are good problems. Any problem you have, people would wish that they would have. And I agree. But I'm you know, am I dealing with any of these problems? Am I just passing right. them off to like another year from now? I'll do it later. You know, I think that's part of like moving on with life is like, you're actually, you know, getting married to me is entering into problems unknown.
Oh, so you think it's more problems? That's a gateway to more problems.
Absolutely. You know,
really?
Like my,
I looked at marriage as like, this is the end of my problems. Like
the end of your problems completely.
In a way. Yeah. I mean, obviously like not like literally, but like in a way, like I think I thought of dating as like a big problem to be solved. And right. in some ways I was like, great. I like fixed that one. Like now I can like chill.
Right. I guess like you didn't think of like the, like, I guess I think of it as like, there's no way, you know, is there ever a thought of like the only way you could really be a disappointment is someone depending on you?
I mean, we talked about this a little bit in the Wednesday episode, but I'm like, yeah, like I'm dependable. Like depend on me. Like I don't have concerns about my, I guess, my personal dependability or Mike's really.
Well, that's the other thing. Yeah. I guess you can't, the one you can't control is your partner. You know, you don't, you know, are they dependable?
What you can control to me is like the future, you know, and that's the scary part. It's like, I feel this way now. I feel so strongly now, but like, are there things I felt strongly about in the past that I don't feel strongly about anymore? Like, that's the scary part to me about that. But I never thought of it as like something that would create more problems. I always thought of it as fixing problems. Like, you know, I've done this, like,
yeah. Right. Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, I guess some therapist is listening now being like, this is classic commitment phobia type of thing. You know, the angle I'm speaking from.
Are you saying the problems are that someone would be like disappointed in you for not being dependable enough?
Yeah, I guess so. That would be, or like holding them back from what they wanted in the future. Like,
what would someone want that you wouldn't want? Oh, you mean like marriage?
I don't know. I these are the unknown is scarier than the known. My life, I know. I am sitting here in Aspen looking at a mountain. To come to Aspen, I didn't have to like check in with someone. I didn't have to have someone go, I really wish you didn't go to Aspen. You could have come home and been with me. You know, I didn't have to like, there was no thought of anyone but myself, which was, you know, a narcissism. I, you know, today
you
I could
to find
go,
someone who doesn't like you that much.
I
doesn't
would
want
love
you to come
find
home from
who just don't. Yeah. I hate this guy. Yeah. Don't come home, go to Aspen. I don't know. And then being in Aspen right now, like this place is fucking La La Land. Everyone here like isn't living in reality. Like there's, it just, you know, you see people at coffee shops on their computer. And you're like, what nonsense are you working on? Like, what do you think is what you're doing is important? What are you getting, you know, making mittens for, you know, out of mole hair? Like, I don't know. Like,
well, if the eclipse has taught us anything, that it's that we should just do whatever the fuck we want, right? So if that's what you want to do, I think do it.
Well, this trip to Aspen has had a lot of highs and lows. I mostly lows. I definitely, I feel a little bit like I'm having reminiscent feelings from the alone to Europe trip.
I was going to say, I feel like vacation, you don't really do well on vacations. It seems, maybe.
No, because I kind of like have this moment to like sit in my thoughts and wonder like, what am I doing here? Like, did I come to Aspen to sit on my phone in Aspen? Mm. Like someone would look at my, I would wonder, I always wonder if someone like watched my trip, would they be like, what a giant waste of fucking money. You know, like, I don't like to do anything else.
Everyone wonders that about their trips. Yeah. Like, am I doing this correctly? Or like, is this stupid? Did I just pay thousands of dollars to just not do the thing right?
Right. But then I think about, I'm like, what do I like doing? I like to eat. I like to drink. I would go up the mountain, but if I didn't ski today, I wouldn't be like, oh, you really like fucked up, I would just be like, I didn't ski. If I ate and drank today and bought a chemo sappy hat for $150, I mean, that would be my day. And I would, and then I guess the embarrassment of coming home and people are like, how was Aspen? I'm like, oh, it was great. They're like, how many times did you ski? I'd be like, zero. They'd be like, what's wrong with you? I mean, had that with Penn State. I went to 4 Penn State football games, my whole college. They were like, what were you doing? I was like, tailgating. I had no reason. The game sucked.
If it's not broke, don't fix it. Like, right. You had a good time. You're having a good time. It's kind of like you telling me with like museums. Go to Europe, no museums. Fine.
Someone DM'd me. So I think when we talked about, like, I was like, if you go to a museum like on vacation, I think you're just like, we are like, I don't think you're wrong. I think we're just two different people. And someone sent a DM that was like angry about that perspective. And the whole DM, I thought, thank God I don't know this person. Like, I was like, what a horrific person.
Talk about emotional energy. Like, if you're putting emotional energy into being angry at a perspective, it's like, just that's, I mean, talk about the lunar, talk about the solar eclipse. Like, oh my God, we got like 80 years on this earth and you're just going to spend it getting mad at other people's perspectives. There's a billion perspectives. And like,
right.
Like, what are the chances someone has the exact same one as you?
Right.
Sometimes you like it. Sometimes you don't. Move on.
The fun of a podcast is hearing people talk the things that they maybe, you know, just wouldn't say out loud. And, you know, podcasts seduce you. They seduce me. And like right now, I'm like, I'm as honest as I could ever be. I don't think I've been this honest with anyone ever. You know, I'm more honest on this show. So like, that's the fun of a podcast. You're hearing me literally break down in Aspen.
Unfiltered.
Good for you. You get to hear the mess that's going on. I don't know.
I thought it's fun though. No?
I'm having fun. I guess I just like...
You're in your head.
You know, I'm in my head. I'm always, you know, I only feel good during the shows recently. I'm like the shows are just like, I don't have to, I can be funny. People laugh. People don't laugh.
Well, you know what? It's comfortable.
It is comfortable.
I have to say though, I feel like when I get in those modes, like that's sort of the benefit of like a weekly therapy session is like you have somewhere to just put all that mental energy that you're like, where you're like, it's going over and over in your head and you're like all anxious about it. It's like a 1 hour a week session that you can just lay on to someone else that you're paying for them to listen to.
Jordana, that's what this podcast is. And I get paid to do it.
Oh, yeah. Instead of paying, you get paid.
Right.
It all makes
the math is wrong on that. I get paid.
Well, you're paying for the fact that you can say what you really want to say because no one can hear it. It's private.
Right. Well, I've never really said anything I don't want to say here. You know, I've always, you know, that's why like when I do see people get upset, I'm like, yeah, I you're upset for me being honest. Like, I don't, maybe am I alone in this thought? Okay. I don't think so. You know?
No.
You just said you go on vacation. You wonder, am I doing this right? Like, that's nice to hear.
Totally. You know,
I
wish I were stupid enough to not question every single thing that I do and wonder if I'm doing it correctly. I wish that I just like that I was dumb enough to not to just have blind faith that I everything I'm doing is just the way it's done.
Right. Well, I think sometimes that's like the suburbs to me. Like, you know, like
you're getting there.
Right. You're closer every day. Sometimes I think the suburbs are like the cure-all for like any anxiety. Because you can only look over one fence in the suburbs. You look at one fence and you go, okay, we're doing better.
Maybe in the past. Now you've got the internet.
Right, the internet. Yeah, maybe that's why we're all fucking miserable. You know, have mental, you know, the mental health issues, you know, that go on.
Yeah, I can see why it might be bad for teens. That's what they say.
Right, is it bad for teens? It's bad for me. I'm 39.
Where's the report? Where you need to testify against Facebook at the congressional hearing? How is this affecting 39-year-old comedians?
Right. You think it's easy for me to look at big boobed women in bikinis?
Answer for yourself, Mark Zuckerberg.
Right. You don't know what it does to my body issues.
love it. 50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery comes The Competition. Host Shima Oliai was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now she is returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks with 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after? Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15. All right, let's jump right in.
Let's jump right in. Let's do it. This is a good Petty or Prudence.
All right, let's jump right in. I'll read it.
Go for it.
Hi, huge fan. Thank you for your podcast. It really helped me understand dating better after spending all of my 20s with the asshole who I'm about to tell you about. It's a really positive episode this week, isn't it?
Right.
Between the two of us telling you about, how we're all going to die.
We're all going to die. I don't know why anyone would get married. I'm an Aspen alone.
Welcome
I'm gonna
to
buy
the dating
100
and, f- and relationship
I'm gonna buy
show.
A $300 hat today with a feather in it. I'm losing my fucking mind. Some people got my friends got married and had kids. I'm getting my name embroidered into a cowboy hat today. What the fuck is wrong with me?
Who's to say who's doing it better? Who's to say?
I'll say it. They did it better. They're in the suburbs. They don't know what's going on. They have a job they go to like 5 times a week where they like zone out.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you love a job where you could zone out?
I like my job. You like your job.
I like my job. It's in between the job that gets me. It's like the
well, that's because your
fear of
the
job ending. Yes. It's the fear of being behind in a race that I don't even know who I'm comparing myself to. I don't have any, you know, it's stupid for me to do that. Like, things are good. Why would I even, but I think
I mean,
about like,
that's
like
the
I'm
whole
in,
theme of my benefits episode. If you guys want to subscribe, like we can get into this right after this. We're recording benefits.
Okay. So I'll hold off
on
it because
yeah.
Stay on that subject. Subscribe to benefits so that I can retire one day, please.
Please just do it.
$3. Well, how much is it now? It's more than three.
It's five. But
we jacked up the price to take care of my Aspen habit.
Exactly. Someone's got to pay for that hat.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. You helped me push myself to get back out there. I also saw Jared at Town Hall, and he was incredible. I've told everyone to see him. Love it.
Thank you.
I'm really curious to hear your advice on how to proceed with this situation. Last year, my fiance suddenly called off the engagement 5 months before the wedding. I was completely blindsided. I'm still not sure why he left. He had been happily planning the wedding with me up until that point. The wedding was completely planned and most of it, dress, venue, caterer, DJ, photographer, videographer, flowers, and more, was already paid for on my credit card. Before you ask why, I thought it might be easier for me to pay for everything and then also receive all wedding gifts back into my account since we did not have a joint account.
Jordana, let me stop you for 2 seconds. Do you think that's a weird way to pay for the wedding? I don't know.
I think that's kind of weird. So like,
what's
saying
the weird part?
She's paying for the whole wedding on her credit card, and then she's keeping all the gifts. Like,
the cash would go to pay that credit card,
right?
Bill.
I would usually, when you get married, you open a joint checking account, and that's like where you pay for things from.
To to stop this email, I think
she has her reasons. Like,
listen, to stop this email for 2 seconds, like everything makes sense after, not during.
Right.
Like
no,
everything
I get
makes
it.
Sense during, and then it doesn't make sense in the moment that shit hits the fan. Then it makes sense after. Like, it makes sense to me that he's like holding out on a joint account, put it all. To me, like, a lot of men break up before the next step. And before that breakup, they're like setting up the room to get out of it as quick as possible.
Right.
And it seems as though this is, if I was to be like, that'd be a fun show, investigate the breakup, I can tell you what happened. This guy was setting up the room so that he could make as quick a getaway as possible. So it's like, yeah, put it on your card. Oh yeah, I'll come to, you know, check out right. the flowers. I'll go along to get along. And then the minute I can hop out of here, it's a little bit easier logistically for me, it seems, what he's done.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised she has that high of a credit limit that she could put everything on and pay for it and not have an issue and then wait until the wedding to get paid back for it. But power right. to her. Again, like, I understand how everything looks different in hindsight. I do feel like I agree with you. It's giving the vibe of like she's saying he's involved, but like the big involvement is part of the big involvement is like putting your fucking credit card down. Like, that's when right. it feels real, when you're right. like,
and that's why oh, the wow. joint account like makes it yeah. like you know, mathematically easier, like this idea of like, I'll get you back, like
right.
like IOUs, like what is this? Yeah,
I mean again, I don't know like all the details around here. I guess it made sense to her at the time. I think that in itself is a little bit of a red flag.
I get why it made sense for her though. I can understand, like, I'm getting the points, I'll get the money back, we're getting married, all's happy. Until it's not, right. you know, so, all right.
Yeah. The breakup was incredibly ugly, and he and his family were very cruel to me. I wish I sheep gave examples of this, but I'll take her word for it.
That spoke to me as well, but go on.
At the time, I wanted him to pay me back fully for the wedding, since he had let me accrue costs after he knew he would be backing out. He even let me buy my own wedding band the same day he told me he wanted to call off the wedding. Again,
very
like,
romantic.
She's buying the wedding band. Like,
put it on your card. I'll get you back.
Is he not doing, like, it just seems weird. There's something weird to me about the fact that she's paying for everything, including her own wedding band, entirely from her account, not even from a joint account.
Yeah, I'm not sure how romantic a wedding band should be, but this doesn't feel very in line with the reasons for a wedding band. Do you know what I mean? Right. Like, this feels very like we've taken away the emotional, you know
she bought his like, and hers, like she bought the whole thing.
Yeah, it's weird. It's just, it's off. But again, you're in love. Right. We're getting
yeah.
married, whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
I was out thousands of dollars, which I only spent with the expectation that he would be receiving money back, that we would be receiving money back as wedding gifts. I would never otherwise spend that money, and as I did not have it to spend. He wanted to leave without paying me back anything. After telling me he'd continue splitting our rent through our lease, he also tried to contact my landlord to break our lease behind my back. Long story short, he was very unnecessarily cruel, and we did not part on good terms whatsoever. Eventually, he agreed to pay me back half, but he wanted the engagement ring back. I told him that if he was only paying me back half, I wanted to keep the engagement ring to sell it to pay for the rest. He did not agree to that. Since the breakup, he's left New York City and asked me to instead bring the ring to relatives of his who live nearby. I told him that if he wanted the ring, he had to take accountability and show up to get it himself. No apology, no explanation. Asking for this ring is the only time he's spoken to me since calling off the wedding. I thought asking him to come in person was a very small ask in return for the ring, but he never responded to me. I've sent a few emails asking if he plans to retrieve the ring, and he has ignored them all. It's been 8 months since my last email to him, so at that point, my friends have advised me to sell the ring at this point. However, the ring was his grandmother's, and it was very important to his uncle that it stay in the family. It's somewhat tempting for me to take the high road and mail it back to his uncle, even though my ex treated me like shit and couldn't be bothered to get it back himself. I've also been made aware that he has since spewed this false narrative that I am his crazy ex, so it's tempting to give it back, so I'd be doing something that directly contradicts that and paints me in a generous light. What do you think? Should I sell it? Mail it back? I'd really like to hear your thoughts. Thank you.
So what do we think, Jordana? What do you think? Petty or prudent?
Who? Him or her?
I guess, who do you... I don't know.
I think
where
they're
are you
both
going?
Being kind of petty, as happens in like their own way. I don't know what his side of the story is.
She admits to the pettiness when she says that I want to do a move that directly contradicts me being the crazy ex. Like, the only reason I want to give back the ring is so that I'm the awesome ex and not the crazy ex, that they'll think of me differently. So that is pettiness is about, but I don't think she's being, I don't think her predicament is particularly petty.
If I were a judge in a court of law, I would say she should give back the ring and he should pay for 75% of whatever she spent.
Wow. Okay. Why 75%?
Because he called it off.
Okay.
He knew that she was paying for it. And he's the one who decided not to get married. She wanted to get married. She's laid out all this money. It's with the intention that she was ready and happy to go through with the wedding.
So as it lies, he has paid her back 50% of what was paid for wedding stuff.
Yes.
And now we are just sitting here with a ring that is in the balance, right?
Right. And it's his family's ring. So I'll keep that in mind also. I think legally she's supposed to give back the ring because I think I've seen stuff like this before. Legally, like, if you don't get married, you're not really supposed to keep the ring.
Well, I guess, you know, it's funny. The way we're talking about this is the way that it's hard to talk about it, but it's the only way it should be talked about. Mm-hmm. Like, when we're talking about, like, okay, what's the math here? What's the legal thing? We are going with hard numbers and rules. When she says he was very cruel to me,
I don't know what that means.
Right. I don't know what that means. That is one side of the story. There's three sides to every story. Yours, his, and the truth that's somewhere in the middle. So that being the case, when you say he was cruel to me, whenever I hear that in an email, to me, that's someone trying to convince me of their side of the story. They're trying to play the victim. I'm not saying she's not the victim here. I'm just saying I think she has to get away from speaking in emotional terms about something that I'm sure is very emotional. But like,
yeah, I totally get it.
Devastating, horrible, wouldn't wish this upon an enemy. But at the same time, if your goal is to get even as far as monetary wise, then that is prudent. If your goal is to get at someone, that is petty. So when she says, like, I think it's petty to need him to personally come over and get the ring. Like,
I agree.
Like, to me, the house is on fire. Let's get the fuck out of this house. So, like,
petty to not meet your ex that you broke up with, your fiance, in person.
I think they're both petty in the
I think it's petty to hold the ring ransom for that, but I also think it's petty to not go see someone that you were supposed to be getting married to.
Right. So, like, if I were him in this scenario, like, I would have paid my way. Like, I can't understand his perspective. To me, I'm paying out the ass to never hear from this person again. Like,
what do you think he should do?
When you bring up the 75% thing, at first I was like, no, but that makes sense to me. Like, when you lay it out like that, I go, okay, that is thoughtful, and that's not from a place of trying to get me. That's from a place of, like, let's figure this out so that we can go on our way and live the rest of our lives.
Right.
Like, when you say, I need you to come over to pick up this ring and look me in the eye when you take it out of my cold dead hands, I go, oh, this ain't the end. This is never going to end.
Yeah. So you think you should pay for the whole thing?
If it were me, I would do whatever amount of money it took
to never have to see them
to
again.
Get this person to get the fuck out of my life. But I do think we're hearing from her side where she's like, I don't know what she wants. Like, when you
does
have
she want
half
the money,
the money,
or does she want, like, him to feel bad? She wants, I mean, she wanted to get married. So I have to imagine it's more about that being hurt. She's clearly very hurt.
Right.
And she says he didn't really, I don't know if this is true, but she says he didn't really give her an explanation as to why and seems to be avoiding her. So I can see why you're like, oh, I can understand her perspective of, like, and I'm not saying it's right at all, but she's like, I have absolutely no power here. This person has ended the engagement with me. They haven't given me any reasons as to, taking her at her word, they haven't given me any reasons and they won't even speak to me. The only leverage I have in this entire situation, I feel completely powerless, is this ring, which he wants back. Is the only, was the only reason he was even speaking. The only time he even spoke to me was to ask me about this ring.
Right.
So she's like, this is like literally all I have. And he's like demanding the ring back, but he won't give me anything that I want, which is just a conversation.
Well, it is funny that, like, all that being said, that's pretty petty of her. Like, to me,
it is.
Like,
it is
like
petty,
to hold, like, the ring, yeah. You know, as you said, hold it ransom. But I also, like, understand the pettiness. Like, I need, for me to move on, I need
a conversation.
Like, one last conversation. I know you don't, I don't feel owed it. I just feel like I need it. You know, like, I think that would be okay for her to say instead of, like, this ring.
I do feel like she's owed it. You don't think she's owed it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know what the conversations were before this. If she's already had a conversation, if he left her a note saying, I can't do this, and that was all she got. I don't know what she's gotten so far, but I do think you should. I think everyone is entitled to an in-person breakup, especially if someone has ended an engagement with them, where the other person just has to kind of sit there and, like, take it and, like, give back whatever thoughts they can give as to why they've made their decision. The other person doesn't have to agree with it, but I do think.
Right. What if his explanation is, hey, I came here, I wanted to talk to you and just give you answer any questions you have. And his answers are all, I don't know. You know, I wish I had an answer. I just wasn't there. Does he just repeat that? Like, it's pleading the fifth over and over again? Like,
I guess. I mean, I would have, more questions. I'd say, well, when did you not know? Like, is there something in, I would have, like, I think you were just give the other person the opportunity to ask questions that come up around it. Like, you know, like, did you think that we were in a match? Like, what about us didn't seem like the match? Like, I think you could give someone the opportunity to ask whatever questions they want. Again, like, it doesn't mean that you're going to actually get closure from it. But I think that you can owe them, like, an evening to ask whatever they want to.
Listen, I agree with you, but I think when you, to me, my opinion on that, if you say, I want you to pick up the ring yourself with the idea of getting that last conversation via this ring, I wouldn't trust that that's going to be like a calmly had conversation where,
right,
I can,
it's
give
under
duress.
You.
Right. I'm going to, like, I think she's
better
off.
The forced confessional.
Right. I think she's better off coming at him with, hey, I want to talk about this. I need one conversation with
I
you.
I agree. Totally.
And,
no,
and
I
instead
totally
of
agree.
Instead of got the ring, you know, like, I think that that's going to get her what she wants more than she's getting it now.
You catch more flies with honey. Like, people are going to not want to, like, sit and have a breakup talk with you if you're, like, threatening them.
Right. I had a solution that was a little outside of the box.
Let's hear it.
I think she wrote something very specific in the email about how the ring was important to the uncle.
Right.
Like, if I were her, I would contact the uncle. Like, because she's wondering whether she should sell it or not. So I would say to the uncle, and I would go, again, he was very cruel, isn't helping. I'm out $20,000, speaks to people. Right. So, to me, I'm going to be more responsive to the logistics and the math than I am he was cruel. That's me.
So what would you say? What would you do?
I would contact the uncle. I'd write an email or whatever I could to get the uncle's information. Because she writes in her email that it was important to the uncle that the ring stay in the family. And this starts with, hey, I know the ring is important to you. I'm sitting here, you know, the cost of what we put in was $100,000. Your nephew gave me $50,000 for half the wedding. He also broke off the wedding. He put me in a position where now I'm out $50,000. I would like to get, I'm in a position where I need to pay off this $50,000. I'm debating selling the ring, but I know it was important to you. He won't answer me. if he can give, yeah, I don't know. The more I say it, the more I feel like I'm holding them up in a hostage situation.
Right. I think that would more. Be like, do you want to buy the ring or I'll sell it to the next highest bidder?
Right. Yeah, I but there's a little bit, because it's important to the uncle. Yeah.
Right.
Like, I think fuck him. Like, the uncle is who really wants this ring in the family, and you'd be doing such a nice thing for that uncle who really, like, cared about it.
Right.
And to figure out a way to, like, hey, I want to give you back the ring. I'm also, like, I can tell you right now, like, this whole thing cost me $20,000. Like, I would, like, you know, I'm not asking for this from you, but I'm saying this is what I'm giving up by giving you the ring, and I hope you tell your nephew that this is the case too, because he won't talk to me. I don't know, that might feel better. I don't know,
she could try that. I mean, at the end of the day, like, I don't know, it doesn't seem like she's getting back any more money,
right?
Would you expect, if you called off an engagement, would you expect to pay for everything that has been paid for until then,
or would I don't you know expect what expect to be split? I think it's pretty, I'm speaking out of my ass. I don't know. I don't know how I would feel. I've never been engaged. I know that when I live with someone, like, let me pay, let me pay, let me pay was my perspective. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't looking to, like, short anyone on anything. That wasn't right. What I wanted. I wasn't nickel and diming.
Yeah.
If someone came to me and was like, well, you didn't pay for the, I would literally look at them and go, here's the money. You know, like, so that's the perspective of, like, I'll give you half of the engagement stuff. It doesn't ring emotionally to something that I would do. What would you do?
I think I would pay as much as I could, because I would feel terrible that this person not right. only is now heartbroken and has not getting
and
married.
In debt.
But now they're in debt. I mean, kind of, yeah. Right, I think it's, right, like, pretty right. messed up to have to deal. And, like, usually that's why people, if you're the one who breaks up with someone else, like, you kind of need to eat shit. You should have a
right.
You should have a special emergency savings fund for if you break up with someone so that you can pay your way out of it. Breakups are expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Listen, and being single is expensive.
Yeah.
You know, like, they've got to go to their own apartment and...
That's what she said about the apartment. Like, he said that she could stay and finish the lease, and then he called to see if they could break it behind her back.
It's like, yeah, it seems like this guy's a little bit, like, you know, I mean, obviously, like, I'll take her word for it. Like, it's, you know, but.
I mean, it's not acting the way I think a stand-up person would act if they had ended. Again, this is all from her perspective, so I don't know if what his version of the story is. If you're listening and you'd like to send it in, would love to
right.
hear it.
We'll do J&J.
Yes. But going off of her email, because that's all we have, I think he should pay more, but I think she should give back the ring.
Hey, I'd like to give you back the ring. I was going, how about this? I have the ring. Tell me where to mail it. Just know that it would really make me feel better about this whole situation if you could help me with the debt I incurred via the wedding, which amounts to this much. Send what you can.
Right.
That could be a good way.
Yeah.
Right.
And here's the thing. If he's not going to pay, he's never going to pay.
Does it change you at all because it's a family heirloom?
That's why I'm saying that's another. Yeah. I think that's an extra reason why she should send it back.
Right.
If he had just bought it. If he had just bought it, I might sell it. If he wasn't answering any of my emails, I might sell it.
That to me, the heirloom aspect of it is the only reason I'm like, I would sell it if it was 8 months. I'm with you. 8 months, he's not asked for anything, I'm selling it.
And he broke up with me? Yeah.
Right. 8 months, the uncle cries about the ring every night. Yeah. Let me help the uncle.
I think if you can message the uncle, and, like, I would try your method of messaging the uncle. If that doesn't work or you don't get an answer from the uncle, sell it.
Hey, Uncle Bob, I'm sitting here with the ring. I feel horrible. I'm sitting here with the ring and $10,000 in debt. Make
Which
it
do
work.
You want?
Pay the debt or the ring gets it.
Yeah. I wonder who's if there's, like, a person who's legally supposed to pay for the wedding stuff if you call off an engagement. I don't know if there's any rules about that.
Well, I think it's like the Tinder swindler. It's on your credit card. Go fuck right. yourself.
Yeah, well, I guess at the end of that lesson to all the U Up listeners, when you're getting married, make sure
join
you
accounts.
Join account. divide all that shit.
Well, we did it again. I hope we helped this person. I would love to hear an update from this one specifically. All right, well, we solved dating again, Jordana. We did it.
We did it. I'm proud of us. And we'll be back next week with a regular episode.
Boom.
The You Up Podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico, Sean Kilby, and Candice Maniga. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico and Shannon Sassone. Social media by Candice Maniga. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander. Be sure to follow at you.up.podcast on Instagram and send us your emails to uup@betches.com. Betches.